Hey, oh, we need to take the offering, huh? Hey, man, you guys ready to give? I'm so glad you are. Come on, let's give unto the Lord today. Ooh-wee. I heard this statistic the other day that only 2% of those who confess Christ share Christ. I sat down and cried a little bit. And if that's true, then we have to do something. What we have to do in this moment as we give is recognize that we were all lost once. I realize there's a lot of saved people in here. If you're saved, raise your hand. That means you're born again. I'm going to talk about what meaning born again means. It's so crazy. But being you're born again, that means you know the hope of glory. That means you know that you know the peripheral from the central. I mean, it changed your life, and you know you once were dead, but now you're found. And I can't understand for the life of me how come cities aren't transformed, turned upside down. And here's what we're going to covenant to do as we give today. We're going to give with this in mind. First of all, when we give, let's give with assignment. You know what I mean? Let's sow seeds with assignment. So when you're giving today, let's sow seeds with, you know, a need attached to it. Whether that be somebody sick or whether that be, the cancer rates in the region dropped by 75%. You know, let's just sow seed with intention. Amen. Let's just confess some things over the region. Let's confess revival over our family, revival over our church, revival over our city, revival over our nation. You know, let's declare restoration to our homes. Let's declare marriages, you know, be restored. Let's declare some thing as we sow seed, because you don't ever sow it. We're getting ready to sow some seeds in the ground out there. It's been winter for a while. I just went to preaching. Let's go then. You know, the seasons are changing. Them seasons are changing. It's been a rough winter. Tore the roads up. They tore the roads up. My Jeep is like, it's being used. It's a utility vehicle. It's being used as such right now. You know, because the roads are just tore up. Like, you swerving? I feel like I'm back in Haiti. Haiti got better roads than us right now. But the winter's rough. It'll tear the road up. But let me tell you something. God's in control of the season. The road might be messed up. The road might be messed up. But the season. Listen, the sun's getting ready to come out again. I looked in my backyard. And about this time every year, them little flowers start popping out of the ground. They start testifying that the seasons are changing. And even though the weather beat some stuff up, even though you're weathered, even though it wore the road out that you're on, but don't worry, the sun's coming out. Amen? Woo. So let's declare some things over the region, over our families, over our lives. Let's never sow a seed without the intent of seeing something come out of the ground. You hear me? Don't just throw seed in the ground without the anticipation of fruit coming from the seed you sown. And don't ever sow a seed expecting nothing to be harvested from it. When I sow seeds, I'm expecting tomato plants. I'm expecting a tomato plant to come out of the earth. And not so far distance from where I sow it. And I'm looking for lots of fruit to come off of it. And so when we sow seeds, I just want to encourage you right now, sow seeds over your family, sow seeds over this church. When Graham Cook was talking, he was talking about it's time to dispossess territory, and he believes there's a place out there that's got your name on it. Can I tell you that is a real, to me, I stuck my hands in the air because recently that has become a reality to me. The city in which I live, where God planted me about 8 years ago, is called Avon. We started a small group there about 6 months ago. I just felt like God planted me there. I said, I'm not doing nothing in the community. I go to these community events. My children are impacting the community. I feel like I need to do something. So I said, let me start a small group and not have church people there. Let's just have community people there. You know, people that don't know Jesus from Jimmy. And so I started to do it about 6 months ago, right? And it's grown. And people who don't know Jesus are sitting on the edge of their seat looking like, you mean to tell me that I can live my life with hope? You mean to tell me that I'm invited to a real relationship with the God who hangs the earth upon? I say, yeah, it's amazing. And they are like, looking at me. I say some things, some stuff I'd say to you, you'd think it's just, yeah, that's no big deal. They're like, jaw dropped down, like, this is amazing. There's this one guy in particular, can't wait for you to meet him. He's going to be amazing in the kingdom. And then, so we started talking. And did you know that in 1877, the city of Avon went from it used to be called something else. I moved there 8 years ago, and I got this something in my spirit for it. And then I was sitting in a meeting, and they said, do you know what the city used to be called? In 1877, they changed it. I said, what? They said, this city used to be called Troy. I did that same thing. I got all bubbly inside. I said, amen, I'm a foot soldier for Jesus. Let's take this city. I'm going to name it back to that. There's something out there with your name on it. It's sow seed towards it. Amen. All that to say, let's give right now. Let's give. Let's give. Let's hold it up for the Lord. Let's send it on assignment now. Father, we send every seed today, right now. We send it on assignment. We send it, God, that it would open the blind eyes, that it would cause the deaf to hear, cancer be broken, back of cancer be broken, poverty be broken. We declare revival with this seed. So we declare our children are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We declare that this is power, power as it's being sown in the earth. We thank you for the opportunity to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go, if you got your Bible, go to John 2. Going to talk about John 2 for a little bit. How many believe it with all of your being? You can go ahead and set that up right there. How many believe with all of your being that you have a destiny? Raise your hand. Do you believe that? If you believe that, if you believe that in the house, raise your hand. That's interesting. That's really interesting that you would say that. That you believe that you have a destiny. So what you're telling me when you say that to me, Ashley, you believe you got a destiny? You believe you got a destiny? Yes. You're telling me when you say yes, I believe I have a destiny. A destiny is, see, it's not made of the earthly stuff you talk about. When I say, do you have a car? You'll say yes. But if I ask you have a destiny, that suggests something more, doesn't it? It suggests that there's an invisible realm almost that prophetically pulls you to something. Right? Isn't that right? That's the sentiment your spirit begins to identify. Say, yes, I have a destiny. Which is unfortunate that you would say you just have one. That you just have a destiny. You're telling me that the source, like you're telling me, see what you're suggesting, what we suggest when we say, yes, I have a destiny, is you're saying that there's a realm that pushes me towards events or an event in my life that is supernatural, that is outside of time, that prophetically pulls me in the direction of a happening, of something momentous in my life. And what you do, see what we do when most of us say, yes, I have a destiny, I have one, we take that term and we almost put it at the end of life rather than where it belongs in life. Don't we? This is really small compared to Lorraine. This is almost pitiful. When I tell you Lorraine has a whiteboard, we got to step our game up. Because the whiteboard in Lorraine is about 20 feet long. It was a sight to behold, I tell you. But when we say we have a destiny, and you say, yeah, I have a destiny, it's interesting because what you're suggesting is there is a realm of existence within time that pushes you towards something. You're suggesting that there is a realm beyond time. We use this little line as a reference for time. You're saying your destiny comes down into time and pushes you forward towards it. But most of us, when we talk about destiny, we set it way off in the horizon. Which is sad. First of all, we limit God because we say that all He has is one thing for us. And secondly, we limit God because we say that he can only do it, that we need to almost work our way up to it, don't we? We sense that that we've got some training to do. We sense that God's got a, you know, some equipping for us to get us to that point. What if I were to tell you that your destiny could be fulfilled if this line right here represents now? What if I were to tell you that your destiny could be filled right there rather than right here? What if I were to tell you that you have more than just one destiny, that you probably got a whole bunch of destinies waiting for you to get there? Because if you and I were to define destiny, what we'd find is that it's defined as an event that takes place in the future. An event that takes place in the future. I didn't turn on anything up here. I just went. We believe that there's an event scheduled for our future that we're being pushed towards by the Spirit, by a realm outside of time. I'll take you to John 2 today and we start there. I'm going to talk about a few things today. I'm going to talk about convergence. I'm going to talk about compelling vision. I'm going to talk about purpose. I'm going to talk about destiny. And then I'm going to shut up. I got a lot to talk about. We pick up the story here in John 2. And it says, in verse 1, it says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. You know, immediately when I read that, what jumps out to me is that there's a wedding. And I just sense that the Spirit is declaring, even right now, that you need to get to a wedding. There's a wedding. You see, weddings are planned events. Adam said, yes, amen. I got to get there. You got to get to a wedding. But wedding is a planned event. You got this thing on the calendar out here. This is the day within time that we will celebrate a wedding. I sense that God is declaring in this moment that, you know, this wedding, this is where two promises come together in your life. Two promises are coming together, they're colliding, and they're about to reproduce more promises. Your destiny, this wedding, that's your destiny. There's a wedding, it's your destiny. And at that wedding, there's going to be this union, this holy union of two promises that you've been waiting for. And I'm not talking about a normal, I'm talking about something spiritual, that God is taking these promises that you've longed for, these promises and specifically combining them together. And there's this moment of convergence in the earth that's about to happen in your life. And it's about to produce, you know, almost like this, you know, multiplied promises from that moment. Two people get married, two Christians get married, they have baby Christians. It's as clean as I could make it. You know, they're Christians, they're living in under the holy guidance of the Lord. Two promises, they come together and they create more promises. Promises for the earth. Promises that release promise to the earth. Promises that release blessing to the earth. Promises that bring heaven to the earth. And God is declaring that over the church. And in the text, as we read through, it says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. It's really important that Jesus is there. It's really important that Jesus is there because he's the only one that can take water and turn it to wine. We're invited secondly because now the assignment, once he's resurrected, made good on his business, now he then hands his business over to us as the disciples and says, listen, as I've done, you do also. Don't ever go to a party without wine. We're invited to a wedding. We're invited to, you ever go to a party and it was lame? Jesus doesn't throw lame parties. He doesn't. And he's teaching his disciples in this story, don't you ever get to a party and allow there to be no wine. Don't you ever show up. You know, I'm invited to places where wine runs out a lot. As you are. They invite me to funeral homes because wine has ran out. They invite me to marriage counseling because wine has ran out within the marriage. They invite me to homes in crisis because somehow, somewhere along the way, the wine ran out in the family. They invite me to communities to put together this or that because wine has run out. Violence is ensuing. Wine has run out in the earth. And you and I, Jesus, you know, if Jesus be not there, there be no wine. But he brought his disciples along with him to teach them how to turn water into wine. Jesus is the wine. He's the spirit of wine in the earth. You know what wine does? Don't answer that. Some of y'all say, yes, I do. I saw somebody the other day at the grocery store yesterday. They had like a 6-pack of wine. I never saw such things. I'm like, what's going on? Like, your 6-pack of beer, but you have a 6-pack of wine. For real, no wine. There's wine in that house. But you know what wine does? The Bible says it makes the heart merry. Now, I'm talking about that new wine of the Spirit. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that bubbly stuff that they was carrying. I need to be specific. But what that wine will do, you ever watch somebody drink wine? I watch people all the time, especially when I go to a restaurant or something. I watch people. I'm like, you see the people over there? Watch what's happening. This other day, we went out to eat, and there was this couple at the bar. And the guy, he had too much wine, and the girl, well, she was trying to get some wine, to remedy what the guy's, you know, persistence. And so I'm watching, like, look, Beck, look. And he's just all over her, and she's just like. But what wine does is it drops inhibition. You suddenly now, you're feeling. You're feeling frisky. Of course, I don't know. Well, yes, I do. I wasn't always saved, you know. But you get a couple of drinks in you, and you start talking more. You're happy. When Jesus is in it, you're happy. We get into services and Jesus shows up. Wine just showed up. You're like, woo, yeah. You start dancing. Some of y'all would never dance until it gets good and anointed. Then you're just like, yes. And some of us live drunk. You know, some of us just live drunk. You know, like John and Lisa. We was on the Sea of Galilee, right? We was on the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden they started playing music. And I swear to you, this is the truth. They jumped up on that ship. Everybody started dancing. They had that whole boat dancing on the Sea of Galilee at 7 in the morning. It takes me about 3 hours to wake up. They woke up drunk. Woke up with Jesus in their heart. And you know what the world needs more than anything right now is they need some wine. Not that bubbly stuff. They need the new wine of His Spirit. They need the wine, you know, they need new wine in new wineskins. And they need some disciples that know how to come to a party. And when the party runs out of wine, they then know how to make the party jump off again. That means, like, I'm not allowed to sit in a community and see it lack wine. I am not permitted to go out to dinner at a restaurant and my waitress not receive some of my wine. We went out to dinner the other day, and Pastor, he stays in this realm. Like, he lives in this realm. He's always giving somebody a drink of wine. Like, not once again. Do I need to keep making that disclaimer? Do y'all get that? Because somebody say, hey, do you know they get drunk over there at church? No. That's not what I said. I was making, you know. But before we left that restaurant, and if you're here, Jessica, if you're here, raise your hand. She said she might be here today. You see, that's how you have to live, with this expectation. Like, before we left, she had, the Spirit of God will intoxicate people. The Spirit of Jesus will absolutely intoxicate you. And it's so alluring and addictive. And addictive. You just like, oh. And once you've tasted of it, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. You taste that and then you go to taste something else. I had the real thing. That is not the real thing. That's a cheap imitation. That's not even close. And so I'm not allowed to be in the world and not bring the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ is the wine to the world. And the world is out of wine. It's running short. I go to parties all the time and they're out. So now both Jesus and disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, she picked up on it. She said, there's no wine. This party has become boring, Jesus. This party needs wine. And so what she's done is she's identified a moment. I love the concept of time. It's interesting to me. Do you know that the reference to being born again is a reference to an infinite time? Think about it. Well, I'll come back to that. These scientists, they take two electrons somewhere back, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. They take two electrons. They put one in California and they put one in New York. These two electrons. And they put them under a microscope. And they take the one in New York and they turn it in one direction. Without touching the one in California, as they observed it under the microscope, instantaneously, outside of time and space, the one in California began to turn instantly. And Jesus here is at a party and it's ran out of wine. And his mom says to him, there's no more wine. And now watch what she goes on to say. And Jesus in verse 4 says to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. She makes a reference. Jesus, she identifies there's a need in this moment. Specifically, she's saying, there is no wine right here. She's like, there's no wine at this party. She points at Jesus, and Jesus looks back at her and says, your concern, what you're doing with your concern, you know what you're doing with your concern. You're trying to create something with your concern. You're trying to provoke me to come before my hour is set. Jesus makes reference to an hour that might have been down here. I don't know when the hour was, but he says, my hour? It's not yet. You're trying to make something happen before it was scheduled within time. This is a concept called convergence. It's a quantum term. I don't know much about it, but I got this really smart guy in the West Side. He began to explain it to me. Jesus says, yes, what you want is coming. And then he says, your concern is about to provoke me to make what you want come sooner than when it was scheduled. Jesus is declaring that you have a need within you. He says, what does your concern have to do with me? Don't provoke me to do what you want me to do before it's set time. What are you waiting for is what Jesus is saying right now. He's like, listen, there is some stuff that is scheduled. And this story tells us that within time, we have the ability to provoke him to do something before it's season. Oftentimes in the church, what we do is this. We wait for him to provoke us. But Jesus' mama taps into something. She says, listen, I know who you are. I know where I've come from. I know that you have the ability and that you are born of something outside of where I am. Ephesians 2:6, go there. Ephesians 2:6 says that we have been seated with Christ. That means that we exist in a realm outside of this realm. When we were born again, on that day when you and I received Christ, we then received a seat and we became infinite. Immortal. You say, that's crazy. Watch Jesus' language. Lest a man be born again. Jesus is making reference to quantum theories. He's saying, unless you're born again, meaning once you're in time and you born again, then you have an infinite circle. You no longer, oh my goodness, you are no longer a victim of this thing that you call time. You're no longer restricted by it. You no longer have to worry about it. Joshua was chasing down some enemies of the Lord, and he looked back at the sun and said, son, stay there. I got some stuff I need to get done. And that tells me that I am not a victim here, that I can pick up time and mess with it like Play-Doh. I can form something, fashion something, and if I can watch what Philip did. Oh my goodness, watch what Philip did. Philip, do you know that if you move fast enough, this is a quantum, if you move, if you move fast enough, you slow time down. That means this. That means the earth is here and you are here. If you drive 60 miles an hour, you will get here. If you drive 180, you'll get here in this amount of time. But how fast do you have to travel to just get back to the same moment without spending any? So if you drove fast enough, you could get to this place. Actually, slow it all down and get right back to the moment you were. Why? Because you are an eternal being in time. You are not a slave to it. That thing on your watch is just a suggestion to you. That ain't even real to you and I. That's just, you know what this is to me? That's how I keep track of when heaven invades it. I just look at it and say, oh, yep, heaven came on that time. Remember that day when we was all together then? Heaven showed up. Now watch this. In Matthew 6 verse 10, what does Jesus say? Matthew 6 verse 10, it said, okay, let me start it earlier in it. Jesus said, he said, our Father, they said, how should we pray? What should we believe for, Jesus? That's what they were really asking him. Like, Jesus, okay, John prays like this. As those who belong to you, as our rabbi, what should we believe for? Like, what should we ask for? What should be the mantra of our life? How shall we live this life of faith, this life in you? He said, okay. He says, Our Father, first understand that you're not an orphan, that we have a Father now, that because you've been born of the Spirit, right? So Matthew 6:10, he starts telling them that you've been born in, you are not outside of time. You're not born in time anymore. You've been born again of the Spirit. And the Spirit is not locked into, you're not subject to time. No, that's what he said. You're not subject to time no more. You have a heavenly Father. You carry the Father's DNA, which is immortal, which is infinite, which is divine. It's not subject to time. That's why Jesus lived within time and messed with it so much. That's why he was able to walk into a place and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Because he came from a place where sickness didn't abide. He came from a place where, you know, knowledge was infinite. He came from an infinite place, and he came to them provide an infinite power. So he said, you have a Father. And you should reverence him and love him because he's holy. And he is the indication of really who you are. I'm messing up my Bible. I gotta stop doing that. He's the indication of who you are. You should reverence him. He is holy. He is holy. He is not made of this stuff. This stuff down here, he is not made of that. And you aren't either. Reverence that fact. Reverence that fact that stop living beneath your character. The character of time shall not define you. So the lusts of time, the urgings of time, everything that time wants to do inside of the soul of a man should not affect you, because you now have been born of this stuff called eternity and the Father. You are an infinite being, and your longings can only be satisfied through an infinite belonging. So everything I long for inside, everything that tempts me down here is an indication that I have a need now. My soul is indicating to my spirit that you need to go feast upon the eternal, because the temporary is just trying to convince you to live like it. It's trying to convince you to be a slave of it. It's trying to convince you to be subject to it. It's trying to get you to walk under its mandate and under its power. But don't take that. Don't take that trickery. Go back up here where you really belong, because you're an infinite being. Then he says to his, this is good, y'all. This will give you some victory. Like concrete. Take it, break it. Then he jumps to 6:10 and he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth. I love that, you know, if you were around me for 5 minutes, you'll probably hear that expression. I'm trying to bring heaven to the earth. It's not enough to go to heaven. I need heaven. You need heaven. They need heaven. The earth needs heaven now. It needs heaven now. So he said, listen, you're supposed to live as an infinite being, as an infinite eternal being. You're supposed to live with this constant rotation of bringing that which is where you're truly from to the place where you temporarily abide. You belong, you are right now, currently, right now. There's two of you that exist right now. One's here and one's there. And you're supposed to live in an infinite circle between the two of them. And when he said you're born again, he's like, listen, you're born again. You've been born of that because you were born of this. Now you're born of that. Now you have this infinite. You have permission to go in and out of both places that you've been born from. You have legal permission. You can walk up into the hospital and say, in Jesus' name, be healed now. You have legal access. You can walk. You can then leave there, go there, come back here and say, now be fulfilled. Be this, be that. It's as you say, Adam, declare some stuff. So Jesus' mama's like, listen, okay, there's no wine here, Jesus. And there needs to be wine. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provoke you to supply this moment in time before its time. I'm gonna hasten the day of the Lord for this moment. And so, what in your life are you waiting for? You know, you begin to realize this concept for your life. You'll walk through the earth with a certain expectation, anticipation. No moment will be empty. No moment. You're like, it's 1:21 right now. Where is the revealing of heaven in this moment? That means there's a revealing of heaven in every moment you experience. That means you're allowed to pick time up and mess with it. Like, stretch it out, snap it. This is why the Christian can't live with regret in condemnation. You and I can't live with regret and condemnation because of this. Because when you begin to live with condemnation and regret, what do? You live preoccupied with yesterday. And you don't belong to yesterday anymore. You've been born of the Spirit, which is eternal. Which tells me that because you're eternal, you're infinite. And infinite things circle back around and clean up what happened yesterday and make it all better. That's the definition of restoration in a believer's life. That God, through His Spirit, has the ability to swing back into yesterday and pull victory into it. Ooh-wee. So Jesus, she tells Jesus, he says, listen, do what Jesus says. She looks around to everyone. She says, just do what Jesus says, because he has the ability. He's an infinite source to a limited resource. He's the source of the resource in the earth. And so he looks back, and she looks back at him. She identifies this moment where heaven wants to invade time. And she's like, all right. She says, listen, Kairos wants to invade Chronos right now. So listen, just listen to what he says. Because he's an unlimited source to the resource. The resources in the earth have run dry. Don't worry. He's unlimited in his sources. He produces. He is the producer of wine. Just fill the water pots up. She said, just go fill the water pots up. They start taking these empty vessels and they start pouring water into them. They start pouring water into these. You know, that tells me that if we'll just take anything empty in our life and begin to pour the water of His Word into it, it just pour it in. If you'll just keep filling up time with His Word. Oh my gosh. If you'll just keep filling time up with His Word, something will happen within time. You'll begin to make something supernatural break off in time if you'll just keep pouring in the Word. I just keep pouring it in. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord. It is by His stripes that I receive healing. He healed everybody He came across. You'll just keep taking that Word and pouring it into time. Time is the vessel that the Word is poured into. And then what happens supernaturally is that Word of the Lord, which does not return void, what does it do? That Word of the Lord, it does not return, it's coming back. It's coming back. It said the Word of the Lord that is sent, it's going to come back, and it's not going to come back empty. It's going to come back, and it's going to turn that stuff that's natural into something that's supernatural. And so what it's telling you and I is, just pour the Word into your life right now. And watch it go out, come back, and produce life. Watch it go out, come back, and produce life. So we got a lot of people walking around with no purpose. How many believe you got a purpose in this room today? Now, I'm going to teach the difference between purpose and destiny. Purpose is the reason for which you were born or created or exist. It is the reason you're here. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're here. Listen to me. There is a reason you are here. God knew when to release you here too. That God is so sovereign that He knew when time would need you. He knew that there would be some party going on. There's a wedding scheduled, and he knew that he just gets you to the wedding. Your destiny is the wedding, but your purpose needs to be operated in that destiny. What is the purpose of every one of us? To take the moments where the earth runs out of wine and produce wine. You and I are the wine skins. We are new wine skins, and we hold new wine, which is Christ. And because we hold the new wine of Christ, we now have been given this opportunity to live within time. It is a privilege to live within time. That makes me beneficial to time. That makes you the most valuable person at the party when it runs out of wine. That means when somebody gets sick, we don't leave the party. Back when I was a little boy, my grandmother, she would pass out. And I identified this now. I couldn't identify it when I was a little boy, but I identified it now. Because I didn't know that I was the source. I didn't know that. So when she would pass out, it would scare me. It would scare me because I realized that she might die. And so I would run away from the house. I would run and go run in the woods somewhere and just hang out there until I felt like everything was better. And then I'd come back and she'd be okay. I repeated that cycle. And as I began to think about it, God's like, listen, remember when you used to run from that situation? And now look at how I've produced inside of you as a born again believer, the vessel who has now the wine of Christ living within him. You see, now when those situations occur in your life, you don't run away from them, but you run to them. That means, you know, we don't run from sickness. We don't run from crisis. We're not paralyzed by fear. We run towards it because we realize that we are the ones now who control the source of wine at this party. The difference between the two, your purpose. You see, Mary, she knew. Let me explain to you real fast about compelling vision. And then, what time is it? How long do I got? One more. Compelling vision. This is pretty good. A lot of this, where's my NCSSM students at? They're loving this because they got this already, most of it. Compelling vision is something I heard a while back, but compelling vision is a forecast of your future that you can see. That's what compelling, and it compels you to move towards it, right? So compelling vision, every one of us should live with compelling vision. Not just vision, but compelling vision. Something that makes you move towards the future with a furious pace. Right? So, compelling vision. There's this, I think it was Lance Wallnau that said it, that at night when you're driving, you can only see 200 yards in front of you. Your vision is limited at night as you drive to 200 yards. The distance you can see is 200 yards. But how many know that when you and I drive at night, we do something by faith that we haven't identified yet. But when you and I get in our cars at night and we go to drive, how many have ever done this? You get in your car to drive and you look in front of you and you drive 5 yards and you stop. Then you look again, you drive 5 yards and you stop. You don't drive like that. No. That's not how you drive. So you're telling me that you drive your car at night by faith. Because you can't see beyond 200 yards when you start. That means there's some stuff you can see right here. And then there's some stuff you can't see out here. This realm out here is what we refer to as faith. This is the realm of faith. And at night, every one of us get in our car. Some of us drive faster. Some of us drive slower. Some of us need to pick up our speed. That's a prophetic declaration. You're driving so slow that you're almost stuck in time. Spiritually, we've got to pick up the pace here so we can get to the stuff that exists over here in the realm we can't see. This is what Philip did. Philip decided, I'm going to drive my car of faith so fast that I already know what's here. I've identified this stuff. I can see it, but I'm going to get to driving so fast with my life that I'm going to go ahead and translate past all this and get into this, because there's somebody waiting for me out there. And until I get there, they're going to be lost. Or there's some stuff in my future that's waiting for me to get there. And this is the good thing. If you'll begin to drive your life like you drive your car. Drive your life like you drive your car. Now, if you've been in a lot of wrecks, it's cool. You got insurance. His name is Jesus. Don't drive like you're afraid. Just drive it like you stole it. Just drive. Just drive. Some of y'all drive too slow. Some of y'all been sitting in that seat for way too long. There's cities that are named after you. There's communities that are waiting for you to pick up the pace. Step on the gas a little bit, son, daughter, step on the gas and get to where you're supposed to be getting. And this is the cool thing about this compelling vision thing, that within that limited space. So listen, he shows you things in there so you can see things. If you'll just be faithful with what you can see, he'll begin to produce what you cannot see. He'll begin to reveal and he'll confirm what you can't see. Check it out. He'll confirm it. I was sitting in a room the other day, and suddenly now I can see this stuff. And then he starts confirming the stuff I already saw before I got there. He starts talking to me in dreams and visions and revealing things to me, which is nothing more than confirmations, which creates more excitement, which makes me drive faster. So when you start telling me that there's more out there, I just start driving faster. Listen, I'm going to make this raggedy old car drive as fast as it can to get to my promises. I believe there's a destiny out there waiting for me, so I'm going to drive faster. And so the faster I drive, my life of faith, the more he reveals what's in faith. And so if we'll just be faithful to drive this life of faith, he'll begin to reveal things and confirm things that will excite your spirit. But most of the time we're bored in the spirit because we're not driving fast enough. We ain't even got the car in drive yet. Some of us are in reverse. This is why you can't live your life looking backwards. You can't live your life looking backwards. You drive in the direction you look. How many know there's some stuff out here? And as you drive that car, you're not even thinking about it. And we've got to get to the place in the kingdom where we drive our lives naturally. We just naturally drive our lives in faith. We're just looking. We drive as fast as we can because we're looking to bring convergence to the earth. We're looking to bring heaven to the earth in every instance we can. I asked you earlier as we started, how many believe that you have a destiny? If you have a destiny, I'm here to tell you, there's a realm that is infinite that you've been born into. That is pushing you towards not just one thing, but many things. God has a treasure chest full of your destinies. Just declare that over your life. I have destinies. That means there's places for you to get to. You see, purpose is why you were born. Why were you born? To bring the wine of heaven to the earth. To make the party fun again. The world's just loaded with boring, sad parties. But it needs you and I to show up and bring the wine and the merriment of Christ. You were born not for success. Purpose is not success. Purpose is not talent. Purpose is not profession. Purpose is bringing heaven to the earth. It's bringing Christ and the revelation of him to the earth, to someone who is thirsty. to someone who is thirsty. That is your purpose. Your destiny, and everyone has one. Your destiny is to find the weddings of life. What wedding are you scheduled for? And what are you waiting for? Amen? Let's stand to our feet as we close. Altar workers are coming now. The worship team can come back. But as we're closing, and the altar teams are coming forward, I want to ask you, those of you who are here, if you've never tasted the goodness of Jesus, I want to invite you to do it today. I just want to invite you, just take a drink. Okay? The Bible says, taste and see that He's good. The Scriptures declare that it is the goodness of Him that leads our hearts to repent and change our mind about what we think about ourselves and what we think about Him. Don't leave this place without first tasting Him. And secondly, if you're here today, and there's some place in your life that's ran out of wine, there's some place in your life that seems empty, that seems hopeless, that's full of pain. You know, it's medicinal. His wine is medicinal. It'll heal a broken heart. It'll heal a sick body. But what is it in your life that lacks the wine of heaven? So with every head bowed and eye closed, I ask now, search yourself and touch heaven. Right there where you're at, Father, pray that you would touch hearts right now. Holy Spirit, we are your beloved. We are your beloved, and there are those here today that need a touch. They need the wine of your Spirit to fill their hearts, bring healing and bring restoration and wholeness to them. There are families that are broken that need the wine of your Spirit. We pray, God, that you would bring life back. Bring life back, oh God. Bring life back to the parties of our marriages and our homes, of our families, of our schools and of our government. Bring life back to Ohio. Bring life back to Cleveland and Lorraine. Bring life to Avon. Bring life. Help us, oh God, to recognize the moments that are in our lives, this thing called time that we live in, the thing we wear on our wrists. Help it to do nothing more than to remind us that we've been invited to places and times where there is a need to release your presence. Birth in every heart right now that purpose and that assignment. Birth right now in every soul, in every spirit, the destinies. The destinies that you have for them. We don't need to wait. We can reveal them before their time. You can be revealed right now. Do that now, God. We thank you, Lord, for sending us. Thank you for the privilege of living within this moment, this time. Help us to be mindful that we are infinite and eternal beings. That time is nothing more than our playground. We bless you and we love you today. We thank you. If you're not born again, if you've never been born, infinite and eternal, just call upon the Lord right now. We call upon you, Jesus, in our moment of need. Christians praying. If you're watching online, pray that you would call upon the infinite one right now, the eternal one. Christ who makes those who are born in time eternal if they just call upon Him. Thank you, Lord, that you supply us richly in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer today, if you prayed any of those prayers, need confirmation, need word from the Lord, these prayer warriors today want to pray for you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard this week. We'll see you Wednesday here at Church on the North Coast at 7 o'clock for our love culture. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, please come now.